Get Rich Education is brought to you by Norada Real Estate, Corporate Direct, and Mid-South Homebuyers.
Garrett Sutton here, Robert Kiyosaki's asset protection attorney and the author of Loopholes of Real Estate. As an American or foreign-based investor in U.S. real estate, you know we are a litigious society. You know that you need to protect your real estate and paper asset holdings with the right mix of LLCs and corporations. My firm, Corporate Direct, not only forms these entities, but importantly, we properly maintain them too. If you fail to follow the corporate formalities, you can lose it all in an instant. Corporate Direct is your source for LLC protection and maintenance in all 50 states. Visit CorporateDirect.com or call 800-600-1760. Mention Get Rich Education for a free bonus. Switch your resident agent service to us and receive another bonus. It's all good. We look forward to assisting you at CorporateDirect.com.
Welcome to Get Rich Education with Keith Weinhold, giving you information and ideas on the investment that has turned more ordinary people into millionaires and billionaires than anything else, and can provide you with more wealth and happiness than you ever thought possible. Now, here's your host, investor, entrepreneur, business owner, and educator, Keith Weinhold.
Welcome to Get Rich Education. This is episode 89. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold, but you're not here for me, you're here for you. Today, we've got the kind of learning for you that can really build your wealth in an actionable way. And this stuff right here excites me, providing value for you. When you have enough passive income that you can essentially buy time and fill that time the way that you want to, that's freedom, and you start to realize the difference between merely living and being alive. I mean, why merely live when you can be alive? Today, I'm bringing you a market profile of Little Rock, Arkansas. That's a market profile as it relates to real estate investing interests, of course. I do these market profiles for you from time to time where we focus in on one particular geography. We've basically done a market profile for Memphis with Terry Kerr on two different episodes. We did an Atlanta market profile with Ken Corsini, Dallas with Jay Hartley, and of course, twice in Panama with David Sewell. As far as next week, we are putting a dent in the show here. Yes, we're putting a dent in the show. The incomparable Harry Dent will be on the show with me. Harry's a popular author that makes these really breathtaking predictions, including one that I'm squarely going to ask him about when he's here next week, and that is that the Dow Jones Industrial Average will plummet, implode, absolutely crater to 6,000 points by early next year. That would be a fantastic decline and reverberate beyond more than just the equities markets. I mean, will that one come true or not? I don't know, but people listen to what Harry Dent says because the depth of his research is so extensive. That's next week's show for Harry Dent on GRE, and you will find that show quite provocative, I'm sure. Now, if you recall back in November, I broadcasted episode 57 from Little Rock, Arkansas, where I let you know that I was about to go on a real estate field trip there on the following day after I did that show. And perhaps you wondered what happened and if you were going to ever get a report on my field trip there. Well, we're doing that today. And, you know, I just enjoy this stuff, traveling to markets like Little Rock, sampling the culture, looking at the potential for industry and market drivers to sustain durable rent incomes, all while meeting with the team there, sizing up a provider or two, and looking at neighborhoods and properties. Now, keeping in mind that we have listeners in 166 world nations here, Little Rock is a city in the southern United States with a metro statistical area population of over 700,000, and there are 200,000 residents right in the city proper. Little Rock is not a flashy place. In the 3 days that I spent there, I mean, really, nowhere did I ever go somewhere in that city where I thought, oh, this place looks so urbane, okay? Well, as real estate investors whom are primarily concerned with the production of cash flow, we typically are not seeking what is urbane or refined or resortish, because those sorts of areas, they typically have amenities and infrastructure that are so, frankly, attractive to residents and tourists alike that what prospective property owners do in those kind of markets is they bid up the price of property to great heights, and rent incomes just do not keep up proportionally to those higher purchase prices, okay? Think of properties crowding the San Diego waterfront, or crammed up against the edge of New York Central Park for the best view of the park, or a posh lodge in Vail, Colorado, within walking distance of the ski slopes. Well, in those urbane locales, your purchase price is way higher, and your rent income is proportionally only a little higher. So then you're not going to have residual cash flow as an investor. And by the way, isn't it kind of funny that the guy from Anchorage here, not exactly the epicenter of urbane sophistication, is commenting on what is urbane and refined here? So Little Rock is not the kind of place that's going to make national news headlines very often. And Little Rock is exactly the kind of place that is ideal for cash flow real estate investors. And that's what attracted me to specifically want to visit there in the first place. That was squarely my reason for going there. It often has that slow, steady rate of appreciation on real estate there in Little Rock, where you often won't have fast real estate capital price run-ups, and you're also best hedged against market downturns. Today, I'm going to talk to two principals at the company, Little Rock Turnkey. Again, turnkey property means all done for you property. That's what turnkey means. It's all done for you as an investor. Well, what exactly is all done for you? You purchase property that's typically already been extensively renovated, already has a tenant in it, and you have the option of holding it in the turnkey provider's management portfolio, which is an option that most investors will exercise, and that property produces cash flow for you from day one. So last November, my wife and I were provided a tour from the two principals at Little Rock Turnkey, Brian Teeter and Jeremy Veldman. I'm going to speak with each of them today. First, we'll talk to Jeremy Veldman. Jeremy was attracted to being a provider in Little Rock at some point, recognizing that it is a special place for the production of cash flow. Jeremy met Brian Teeter, who was already there. Brian, who I'll talk to second, is a native and lifelong resident of Little Rock. I conducted my chats with them just the other day. We did it one chat at a time. First Jeremy, and then Brian. Let's meet them and learn about Little Rock, Arkansas. Jeremy Veldman is principal partner with Little Rock Turnkey. Previously, he was an electronics engineer for a Silicon Valley-based semiconductor company. Since 2009, he's been a full-time real estate entrepreneur and former president of Memphis REIA. He owns and manages a portfolio of investment properties. He's a note holder and a private lender. Jeremy Veldman, welcome to Get Rich Education.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me on the show. Big fan, regular listener of your show, Get Rich Education. Enjoyed our visit last fall in Little Rock. You and your wife came out in November, and we just had a really good time and really enjoyed meeting you.
It's a great way to get to know each other. We spent a lot of time in a car together. That's a great way to get to know a person. We also spent some time out looking at properties. And, you know, when I do a market visit, it's not just the properties that I want to look at. In fact, I want to see what the market drivers are. That might be even more important. So what attracted you to Little Rock? What did you see with the market drivers there that made Little Rock attractive?
It's interesting, Keith. Little Rock is one of those markets that's below the radar. Not many people know about it. It's a smaller town, about half the size of Memphis or Dallas or some of these other large metro areas throughout the country. But it is a capital city, centrally located within the United States, and it's a really nice town. Easy accessibility to anywhere in the city. You know, the commute time in Little Rock, the average commute time is about 17 minutes. So in terms of convenience, it's really a great place to live. But in terms of economics, you can't beat Little Rock. I mean, 15% population growth over the past decade. The cost of living in Little Rock is about 12.2% lower than the national average. in terms of market fundamentals, it's a great place to be. I mean, properties there rent really, really quickly. You know, it's a capital city, so over 32,000 state government jobs. Got 4 or 5 major medical centers and hospitals there, so over 80,000 healthcare jobs. So there's a lot of anchors, a lot of cones in the Little Rock market that make it an attractive place to invest.
Yeah, you do have more people and businesses moving to lower cost areas. And, you know, last time I checked, no state capitals or governments were being moved and offshored or being moved out of the country or anything. So you do always have that stable base there as well. And any other drivers of particular interest or any in-migration, out-migration patterns that are favorable to investing in Little Rock?
Well, the thing that makes Little Rock interesting and compelling is its diversity economically. I mean, when you think Detroit, you think automotive industry. When you think Memphis, you typically think FedEx. I know there's other things going on in Memphis, not just FedEx, but a lot of these markets have one particular driver. Little Rock is not that way. It was voted the second most diverse economy in the nation a few years ago. I mean, you have government jobs there, you have healthcare jobs there, you have Stephens Inc., the largest banking firm off of Wall Street. They're headquartered in Little Rock. 2 Fortune 500 companies, Dassault, Falcon Jet. They take the shell of aircraft after they've been built. They do all the interior work. So I could go on and on. But the point is, the market itself is not dependent necessarily on any one sector, that if it declines or, God forbid, tanks, then it's not going to affect the market because you have so many different drivers there. And yeah, the fact that it is a capital city, it is centrally located within the United States. 40% of the nation's buying power is within a 550-mile radius of Little Rock. So in terms of commerce, in terms of distribution, in terms of fundamentals, you know, Little Rock is again, one of these Midwestern hubs that just anchored within the center of the state of Little Rock. It's also located right off of I-40, major east-west corridor that takes you from one end of the country to the other through Memphis on your way to Oklahoma City. I-30 takes you further south onto Dallas. So we'll see what happens in this political environment, but there's a good chance that our next president could once again be a Clinton, and the you know, the Bill Clinton Presidential Library is there. So if she does, in fact, become the first female president of the United States, I don't think they're going to want to see Little Rock decline anytime soon either. Just a note of consideration.
That's an interesting angle that I hadn't thought about. Yeah, when I visited Little Rock with you and Brian, yeah, I think one of my takeaways was you can't classify it with just one industry. And from a diversification standpoint, it behaves as a larger metro often does. Well, Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on and telling us a bit about what attracted you to Little Rock.
Always a pleasure, Keith. Thank you very much for having me.
Brian Teeter is principal partner with Little Rock Turnkey. He is a lifetime native of Little Rock, Arkansas. He's a graduate of the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. With a background in corporate sales, he's a 20-year veteran real estate investor in Little Rock, and he owns 27 properties just in Little Rock, so he certainly eats his own cooking there. Welcome to Get Rich Education, Brian Teeter.
Hey, Keith. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. Thanks so much for that tour that you gave my wife and I there last November. That was terrific.
You bet. Yeah, I was glad to have you guys.
Now, being a lifelong Little Rock resident, you know, Kiplinger's recently rated Little Rock as the number one place to live. What went into that?
I can tell you from my own experience, just in my observations, I'm not 100% sure of what all their criteria was, but we were sure glad to get that ranking. But, you know, Little Rock is a very diverse place, both from an economical standpoint, all the way from a cultural standpoint. So we have a little bit of everything here, but I think some of it has to do with the size of our community. It's not too big. It's not too small. You know, Little Rock was named one of the top foodie cities for food choices in the U.S. recently. It's just a good place to live. Outside Magazine rated Little Rock as a top 10 place to live due to all of our outdoor activities that are nearby. So kind of naming off a few things off the top of my head, but I think there's a lot that contributes to the city and why people like to live here in general.
Yeah, and the downtown vibe was pretty relaxing too. You know, my wife and I stayed there at the Capitol Hotel. I was able to go for a run on a recreational trail, including across the bridge that went across the Arkansas River, and make a loop around and come back and finish up in a nice park there. So it's really a good-looking city downtown. How's the job growth been there lately? You know, we're real estate investors. We're concerned with incomes and such. How has that looked?
The job growth has been good here. Our unemployment rate is somewhere right around 4% right now, which is less than the national average. In the last 10 years, last decade, we've had 15% population growth is a good statistic there. So, you know, the population grows, our unemployment stays below the national average. Those are pretty good statistics. We do continue to have a lot of reinvestment in the city. You mentioned staying in the downtown area and the River Market, and there's been a lot of revitalization over the last 10 to 12 years in that sector of the city. We've also seen a tremendous amount of growth in the Midtown area of the city, which is kind of a core focus area for our rental properties. And then even moving all the way to the southern, southwestern edge of the city, there's been just in the last year, a big outlet mall that's been constructed, and all those shops are now open. That's said to employ around 1,000 workers just at the outlet mall. And that continues to grow. In fact, I read in the newspaper just this very morning that they just announced a new Hilton branded hotel is getting ready to be built there, and a new Dave & Buster's, which is a big regional adult sports bar type place that is open in there too. So there continues to be growth in both retail, shopping, restaurants, and just business in general in the city.
Yeah. Now, in a sense, some people might even think of Little Rock as sort of ground zero for a landlord-friendly place. Arkansas has long been known as having some of the most landlord-friendly laws in the United States. And then Little Rock is the largest city and the capital city in the state. So, you know, I've often seen Little Rock is named on these lists, and I'm sure there's some judgment that goes into this, as Arkansas being the most landlord-friendly state in the United States. Do you think that's still true, and what goes into that?
It's always been the norm for me here. I never really contrasted it to other places around the country until just recently, and I realized, wow, you know, I guess I've taken this for granted all these years. But we do have a very landlord-friendly state, as particularly when you get to the point of having to evict someone, which, you know, obviously no one wants to have to get into that situation where you have to evict a tenant, but sort of the laws of nature with rental property, that does happen at times. But, you know, here you can usually, from the day you serve an eviction notice till the day that tenant actually gets out, if you have to actually force them out, is about a 21-day spread. So, but yeah, I mean, as I understand it, that's pretty fast, at least compared nationally.
That is fast.
21 days to get someone out here if you really have to force the issue.
That is fast. It still seems like a long time to potentially not have to pay rent, but yeah that is very fast on a national basis.
Yeah, you bet. Now, we've gotten a good bit of press over that in the last couple of years.
When you're looking for a property to put into your portfolio and sell there at Little Rock Turnkey, you know, I guess what goes into the go versus no-go decision as far as, you know, submarket and neighborhood type and age of the property and construction type and all that? You know, what do you look for?
We're really focused on kind of a core area of the city, as I mentioned earlier, the Midtown area. It's a very desirable place to live. There's been a lot of reinvestment in that area of the city. Of course, it's by virtue of its name, Midtown, so it's kind of right in the middle of everything. People want to live there. We want to target areas where people want to live, not where people have to live out of necessity. So, you know, that makes for a better area and a better class of tenant. Those are certainly some of the things that we're looking at when we're looking at area. You know, whenever we buy a property to fit into our turnkey model, we actually buy the property. We're not doing this on consignment. I mean, we actually purchase the property, either pay cash for it or get a loan ourselves and make a down payment on it. And there's no guarantee that anyone's going to ever buy that property. So we've got to kind of give that property the same gut check and make sure it fits all of our own personal investing criteria. Because like I said, there's no guarantee that we're going to ever sell that property. We may very well end up with that property in our own portfolio for the long term. So we think very hard about the property and the criteria that it fits in. But you know, for me personally, criteria that has to fit in is I always look at a property and say to myself, would I spend the night in this property and feel safe? Would I feel safe with my family staying in this property? And I don't mean that it's an ideal place to live and raise a family. I just mean from a safety standpoint. You know, do I feel comfortable here? Would I feel comfortable with my wife and child getting out of the car, myself getting out of the car at night in this neighborhood? So those are, there's certainly some gut check that goes into our view on a property. That's where it starts. But all the way up to just how nice is the neighborhood? You know, is this a place where people want to live and not have to live? You know, we ask ourselves those questions. And then all the way up to just the construction of the house and the era of the house. Our typical property here is majority of them were built in the 1960s or 1970s. And, you know, and that's just kind of that part of town. Again, that midtown was sort of developed during that time period. And so that's kind of where our area of focus and the properties tend to be that age. And their typical configuration is, you know, a 3-bedroom, 1-bath or a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home seems to be kind of an average configuration. And it seems to draw in, you know, more suitable for family living. And we find that those family tenants tend to be the better long-term tenants here. So those are just kind of in a nutshell what we target and sort of what we work with.
Yeah, when you target single family homes and you target places where people want to live versus where they have to live, you know, it's a lot more likely that you're going to get a longer tenancy. And, you know, that's one advantage with single family home investing versus duplexes, triplexes, or fourplexes. You can often get the type of tenant in there that's going to respect the property and really treat it as their own, because it's, when it's a detached single family home, it really feels like their own.
Absolutely. Again, back to kind of our motto is sort of better areas, better finishes, meaning better improvements that we make to our properties. And if you're in better areas and you have better finishes, then you're going to attract better tenants. Those are the people that want to live there and take pride in living there, and they're attracted to that. And they're also the tenants that are willing to pay a higher rent to get those things. But all of those things together equal better investments. I mean, that's kind of our core motto, is if you put those things together, better areas, better finishes, better tenants, it equals better investment. So, and really, it all goes back to areas where people want to live and not have to live. That's a big part of that.
You know, when I was walking the properties with you and Jeremy, we walked a few together. You know, I was kind of seeing a price point somewhat higher, maybe up to 140K or so. Tell us a little bit about the price points and the rent-to-value ratios that you have there.
We do primarily focus on what we call A-class and B-class properties. And the majority of them are B-class type properties. And I would say our average price point, while we certainly do go up to 140, I think we've even touched into the 160s before. Majority of our properties are right around that 100K mark, anywhere from the mid-80s to 105, 110,000. That seems to be where the majority of our price points fall. But yes, those areas that we target, you know, that's important. I mean, better quality areas, I mean, they just cost more. But we get better rents and we get better tenants. And, you know, I think renters, they want all the same things that we homeowners want. They want safety. They want nice touches and they want nice finishes as well. They want to feel comfortable and safe that their families can get out of the car at night and come into their homes and walk the dog at night and that sort of thing. They really want the same things that we want. But for us to get those things as landlords and as investors, we've got to up our game a little bit and get into the better quality neighborhoods. And that comes at a price. So that does get us into that 100K range.
Yeah, now I seem to notice when I was walking property that even up to that 140K price point, which is kind of at your higher end, that you're still able to maintain that approximate 1% rent-to-value ratio, that being 1% of the rent income as a proportion to the total purchase price, which usually spells profitability. So yeah, you have some pretty good meaty articles there on your website at littlerockturnkey.com. Tell us more about the recent capital and the recent rent appreciation rates as well, and some of these investor advantage submarkets that you're looking at in particular for Little Rock Turnkey.
Yeah, you know, we've seen about 3 to 4% appreciation rate here in Little Rock as an average. Now, in 2015, an interesting statistic came out that we actually had the number 9th largest rental increase in the U.S. So our rents actually, in just 1 year, rose 11.2%, I believe is the statistic on that. So we've had a big rental increase. The article that I read didn't really specify a whole lot of reasons why that is. So it's a lot of speculation, but you know, I think that in general, there's just more renters. And I think that's where a lot of the data keeps pointing back. There's just more renters today than there were years ago, and the markets are just sort of catching up, and there's just more competition for homes out there. So, you know, rents have risen, and specifically in the single family. This statistic was not an apartment, did not include apartments or multifamily. It was just a single family statistic. So I thought that was a really interesting thing to look at.
Yeah, that 11.4%, that's a phenomenal rent amount appreciation rate. Yeah, it just makes one wonder what all goes into that.
I think so much of it's due to just the nature of our economy these days. People are more reluctant to become a home buyer or homeowner, or they owned a home and had a bad experience, or they just simply can't qualify or come up with a down payment, or just plain unwilling to invest in a home. But those people are still renters, and they still make a good income, and they're willing to pay a rent, puts them in a property that they want to be in. So I think some of those things are the drivers or put pressure on the rental market out there. Also, you know, with single family, a lot of rental property out there, you know, no one's really creating single family rental property. It's, a lot of it just happens by accident.
Right.
So you have people out there that are creating apartments, building large apartment buildings and new complexes and various things, but you have very, very few, if any, out there actually developing single family property. So it puts a lot of pressure. You know, there's not any creation of that single family rental market out there, that at least that's not new. It's being driven by new construction. So, you know, what you have out there is grows by a small amount. So there's more and more competition for it. And I guess those things pressure that rental increase.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things nationally conspiring to increase the proportion of renters in the United States versus those that own their home. But beyond that, which we talk about on this show a lot, is there something that's in the Little Rock culture there that makes a person want to become a renter? Is it because their parents were also renters and they're just used to, you know, that being the way it is? Some people like that assurance of someone else coming over and fixing things for them. Is it in the culture?
You know, it could very well be. I mean, Little Rock, our median household income here in Little Rock is about $58,000 a year. So, you know, that's a good working class family wage there. And that goes a long way. I think the cost of living here in Little Rock is, the statistic is maybe is 12% lower than the national average. So the dollar goes a little farther here. But, you know, yes, you do have a lot of working class people out there. They're at that income level. And there's some protection in knowing that, you know, hey, I've got $1,000 rent per month, and that's going to be it. That's an expense that I can just go ahead and mark down. I know that expense is not going to go up or go down, at least for this year. So I don't know that it's so much part of a culture, but we do have a large working class portion of our population here, and renting is appealing. And I think that's a fixed cost for them per month. That's appealing versus a home ownership when you have a hot water heater that goes out, or you have some other problem there at the home that you've got to take dollars out of one pocket and you weren't planning on. So it's a fixed cost.
Yeah, that's a good point. When you're less financially stable, making you more likely to become a renter, you do have that known fixed cost of $1,000 a month, and you don't have to worry about a roof going out and that blowing up your finances. Well, Brian and I are going to come back and talk a bit more about the properties and also about the management structure. You're listening to Get Rich Education. Our guest is Little Rock Turnkey's Brian Teeter. More when we come back. I'm your host, Keith Weinhold. Cashflow real estate investors nationwide and worldwide, this is Get Rich Education's Keith Weinhold. Forbes has rated Memphis, Tennessee as the number one cash flowing market in the world. Our good friends at Mid-South Homebuyers have been Memphis's premier turnkey real estate provider for 14 years with a stellar reputation and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Owner Terry Kerr was born and raised in Memphis. Yeah, he knows the market and has renovated and sold over 1,000 houses in the Memphis area. Find out what their many repeat buyers already know. Their houses are completely renovated, even come with a one-year builder's warranty and a lifelong rental guarantee. They're a perfect fit for the first-time out-of-state investor or the seasoned investor diversifying their portfolio. Mid-South Homebuyers' friendly staff makes investing easy. Learn more at MidSouthHomebuyers.com or give them a call at 901-217-HOME.
Are you looking for a roadmap to financial freedom? If so, we have a solution for you. Narada Real Estate is offering a limited number of free strategy sessions to help you get out of the rat race. Learn how you can create wealth and build monthly passive income. To set up a time with one of our knowledgeable investment counselors, simply go to naradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.
Hi, this is Russell Gray, co-host of the Real Estate Guys radio show, and you're listening to Get Rich Education with Keith Weinhold. Don't quit your daydream.
Welcome back to Get Rich Education with our guest, Brian Teeter from Little Rock Turnkey. You know, Brian, I travel the nation and beyond the nation and look at these markets. And gosh, I think of Little Rock as like the classic, the quintessential, you know, what many in the industry call a linear market. For an investor, I don't think they're going to see high rates of capital appreciation, but typically the cash flow centric investor is not buying for that reason anyway. We're buying for good occupancy and a durable cash flow. And that's what I see in the Little Rock market. So, you know, with regards to that, tenants are controlled by a property manager, and a lot of these turnkey buyers, I would imagine that they rarely visit Little Rock, although they're welcome to, but those tenants are underneath a certain management structure. So tell us a little bit about the management structure once a turnkey buyer goes ahead and purchases a property and puts that in Little Rock Turnkey's management portfolio.
When you put a property under contract here, of course, we connect you instantly through a web portal called Basecamp. So we're keeping you informed the whole way through to the closing of the property, all the way through the title company and the closing and therefore. But at that point, we already go ahead and set you up with property management. We get you set up with our property management portal. So there's a real smooth transition from just the process of buying the property right into the property management. Majority of our properties are already rented at the time of purchase. So there's already a tenant in place. There's already a rental stream coming in. So all of that is set into motion. Sort of the structure, the way it works from a fee structure standpoint is 8% of the gross rents.
That's pretty good for single family homes.
Yeah, that goes towards the, that's the property management fee there. So you get monthly check or monthly deposit automatically from the bank for your rents and that sort of thing, along with your statement. And we set you up with a web portal access. So you've got real-time information all the time where you can view your account or view your property and see how it's going. You can set limits with property management. You don't have to call me every time a toilet gets clogged. Just go ahead and do that. Or, you know, you can say, yeah, I want to know anytime anything happens with my property, notify me. So you can sort of create some settings there on how often you want to be notified or at what level you want to be notified. Some of the things that we look at when we're qualifying tenants, I mean, we're going to obviously look at their credit score. We're going to look at their work history. One thing that's very important is checking references and really verifying references. I mean, anybody can write down a reference. You know, they can give a cousin or a sympathetic friend their contact information and say, hey, if this guy calls you, just put in a good word for me. You know, to avoid that, we really try to verify that these are legitimate references, even as going as far as to drive by the property that they say that they live in now and just take a look at from the outside and see, you know, what does it look like? This tenant looks like they've taken care of this property. You know, we go to some of those links to make sure that we've got the right tenant in there. And that's so important, getting the right tenant in there. And, you know, you can't always judge a book by its cover. Sometimes someone comes out and they sound and look terrific and they end up being terrible. So you've got to be careful and you've got to do your due diligence, even though that isn't a catch-all for everything, but you got to put your best foot forward and qualify that tenant. So that's a big part of our process is that qualification.
Yeah, with tenants, all you do know is you don't know. And like I like to say sometimes, dealing with tenants can make you lose faith in humanity.
That's
so
right.
I'm not a big fan of being a self-manager. I'm sure we've all dealt with those tenants if we've been in this industry for very long, that they'll go ahead and give their employment history. They'll state the name and the phone number of their former employer. And if you continue to dig down, you'll find, oh, that former employer name is actually their father trying to put in a good word for the tenants.
Exactly.
Losing faith in humanity. What else can you tell us about tenants as far as, you know, who are those people? What kind of jobs do they have? Where do their incomes come from as far as the ones that go into a Little Rock turnkey property that an investor holds?
We're kind of targeting that working class, kind of blue collar worker. You know, in Little Rock, as we kind of touched on earlier, you know, Little Rock's a capital city of Arkansas. So we have a very diverse range of jobs here. So, for example, I mean, we've got, you know, I think probably already mentioned 70,000 plus hospital jobs and 30,000 plus state, federal employee type jobs. So, you know, a lot of our employees work in medical or state government, work for the school district. Maybe they're a bartender at a Tex-Mex restaurant. You know, maybe it's a stylist at a beauty salon, or maybe it's an assistant at a law firm. A lot of just various working class background jobs like that can make up the base of our employees and what they do for a living and how they ultimately pay their rent.
Yeah, and I still have from my notes here that I took when we were doing our Little Rock tour months ago that once you think you found that right tenant, you often go for 18-month leases. So that's really great for stability. And, you know, a tenant probably wants to go ahead and exercise an 18-month lease because I know they like your product. I've been inside a number of them. So with regards to your product, why don't you tell us about the renovation extent of your turnkeys? Like, I know that you put new HVACs in probably more than half of your turnkeys. Tell us more about the renovation extent.
That is so important. We really do go for that 18-month lease. And we're in a market where the standard is really a 12-month lease, but we are very successful in getting the 18-month lease. And it really, a lot of it is, of course, like I said earlier, due to we're buying properties in areas where people want to live. But yes, what you just touched on, the level of the finishes and how we actually fix up our property and make it presentable to the client, make it ultimately desirable. Usually they'll sign an 18-month lease with no reluctance at all, because they really sincerely want to live there. I mean, it is a nice place. Some of the things that we do, it's very standard. Some of the biggies, a new roof. I mean, the majority of our homes end up with a new roof. And, you know, a lot of these homes we buy, they're in a state of where repairs really are needed. We go in and make pretty extensive renovations. So when that happens, I mean, a lot of the times the house gets a new roof. It does get a new HVAC system most of the time. So at least those two things are happening a lot of the times. New hot water heater happens a lot. So those are some of the biggies, some of the big costs, big mechanical costs that ends up being updated right off the bat. Other things that we do, we really try to pay attention to the finishes, but we also want to add finishes that are pleasant to look at. They're conducive to that environment. We don't want it to feel institutional, but at the same time, we don't want to put things that constantly are going to need to be renewed, like carpet. I mean, we try to minimize how much carpet we put into a house. Carpet just doesn't have the shelf life or can withstand the traffic of other things, obviously. So we try to stay away from carpet in main living areas, and maybe restrict that only to the bedrooms or to the hall in the bedrooms. The rest of the house, we'll try to, you know, if there was already hardwood floors, we'll often find hardwood floors underneath old carpet. We'll just refinish the hardwoods and put extra coats of polyurethane on so that they'll last a long time. If there was carpet in an area and there was not previously hardwoods, we use it's called a luxury vinyl plank product. And it's a great product. It actually has texture to it. They're actually individual planks. They are vinyl. Gives a wood floor look. You see this product a lot in restaurants and commercial building in their lobbies. And I mean, it's a very nice looking product, but it holds up very well. And we use that quite often. Tile floors in the kitchens, tile floors in the baths are often new. We also touched earlier in the price point of our properties and our A class and B class. We're really trying to get over $1,000 rent per month. We typically will put in an actual granite countertop in the kitchens. Now, that really has kind of a wow factor. It holds up very well over the long term. And, you know, the tenants, that's something certainly other landlords are not putting in or adding to their rental properties. So we feel like we really get a big bang for our buck with granite countertops. So we do that in some of our, I guess, more select properties. Otherwise, we use a more of a laminate top, but still a new top. So many of our houses will get that in both the bathrooms and the kitchen. So usually have new vanities in the bathrooms, new toilets. I mean, we really start over. We try to coordinate, not just throw. We don't just go to Home Depot and they had a sale on brass doorknobs, so we put brass doorknobs in the house. I mean, we really try to use a product that is consistent and make all the doorknobs consistent, all the hardware a consistent color in the house. We try not to have two light fixtures in the same room that are different. I mean, we try to put all new light fixtures in and everything's matching and coordinating. We use neutral paint colors. So we're very conscientious about how we set up the house, how it's going to look, how everything's going to flow together. And ultimately, when a potential tenant walks into that house, what are they going to think about it? And do they want to live there? And all those things lead up to, you know, if they really are truly happy with the product, they're proud to live there, they feel good about the house, they'll take care of it and they'll want to stay there longer. So we hope for them to stay much longer than an 18-month lease. In fact, many of the tenants here, our average is more like 3 years.
That's a fantastic average of about 3 years, but I can see why, because when I walked those properties with you and Jeremy, I could see that they got a better renovation and it was a more homey and livable place, even than most turnkeys that I see in other markets. For example, I could see that the cabinets might have matched the kitchen flooring really well. And you can tell that someone didn't come in and do the cabinets. And then when they were done, a different party came in and just used whatever floor planks they had left or whatever. And instead of doing that, they matched. And that really showed me that there's some good, really general contractor management oversight for you to get those sort of things. Luxury vinyl plank. Yeah, that is beautiful stuff. In fact, I have that in more and more of my own rentals as we go on. But granite, yeah, I mean, that's something I've never done. That's kind of surprising that you put that in your higher end rentals. And I do remember that from before now, because classically, you know, with most rentals, it just doesn't pay. You just don't get the dollars back on a cash on cash return basis just for that granite. But with yours, you do.
We do not have the cheapest rental property in the neighborhood. It'll be the more expensive rental property in the neighborhood, but we get them surprisingly rented out pretty darn fast. But I really keep going back to it has to do with our finishes. It has to do with how the house feels and looks. And the feedback that we get on the granite countertops indicates that that's a big reason too. So people really like that, take pride in that. And it's not something they would ordinarily find in a rental property. Sets us apart.
What about warranties on your product and your renovations there?
So a lot of times, you know, you've got a new roof. And so those shingles, all those things have a warranty on them. You got a new HVAC, you know, that manufacturer will have their own warranty on those things. But just our own work, our own general contractor, we hold him to a very high standard and he gives us a high quality product. And we ask him to stand behind his product too. So, you know, we typically will do a 3-month warranty. Once you buy the property, you know, if something goes wrong or screw falls out or HVAC issue happens or something like that, we'll take care of it. So for that first 3 months.
Now, since you do deal with what I'm calling kind of higher end, at least in the turnkey world, I mean, do you have any Section 8 government subsidized housing applications that you ever approve at all? Or are any of your investors okay with that? Or how does that look in Little Rock?
Yeah, we do. I think out of our probably 400 managed properties, somewhere around 30 to 40 of them might be Section 8 tenants. So as an overall percentage, it's not very high. You know, we put those Section 8 tenants through the same exact rigors that we do any other tenant when we go to qualify them. I mean, they have to have a credit score that's worthy. They have to have references that are worthy. A lot of times we find that these tenants are on Section 8. They don't want to jeopardize their Section 8 status, and they can have their Section 8 status revoked if they get a lot of negative feedback from landlords complaining back to Section 8. And of course, you know, there's also Section 8 inspectors that come out and make sure that the house meets their standards and qualities and make sure that the tenant's keeping it that way as well. So we don't turn away Section 8 tenants. We'll look at them, and if they qualify, if they have the same references and background as normal tenants, then why wouldn't we rent to them is the way we look at it. So yes, we do have some, and we don't necessarily view them as a negative across the board.
Yeah, I think they're worth a look, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But yeah, I think most investors are in one of two camps. You know, they're all for government subsidized housing tenants because your rent check is pretty much guaranteed to be there. Mm-hmm. And those tenants also tend to stay a while. But then on kind of the con side to that pro is some people feel that you get a lower quality tenant, although not always. And then you do have to meet those inspection requirements from the case manager. But you know, you don't often get a lower quality of tenant. You got to take things on a case-by-case basis. The first time I ever rented to Section 8 tenants, it was a family that was displaced by Hurricane Katrina. So I really felt that it wasn't their own circumstances that put them in those conditions. It was something outside their control. And they were a very nice, quiet, married family with one daughter. And it worked out for a great long-term tenancy.
You certainly have to look at it case-by-case and treat it just like any other tenant that you're qualifying for. And so I think if you do those things and you're judicious and prudent in the way that you look at it, then you know you can make a good decision and end up with a good tenant, just like you mentioned.
Yeah, Brian. Well, I had a great tour with you for a few months ago. You know, I think my lasting impression when I think not so much about the market drivers, when I think about the properties is kind of an established home. Sometimes it might even be a brick home, and it's on a lot that's larger than you'll find in some other metros, and it just kind of had some mature trees there, and it just really felt like a place that someone would want to call home for a while.
That's kind of part of our target. I mean, we want to find areas where people want to live, and they want those things. They want a big yard for their kids to play in. They want to feel safe. They want a fenced-in area. They want to be able to park their car out of the rain or the elements. Maybe we want all the same things that regular homeowners want. So those are some of the things that, you know, in the areas that we target here in Little Rock. Little Rock certainly has those areas.
Yeah, it was a type of property that an outsider might come to town to look at and just guess that an owner-occupant homeowner was there and not a renter. So Well, Brian, for some of my listeners that might want to come and do a tour, do you guys offer tours to go ahead and see that same high quality of turnkey that I was seeing?
We do absolutely do tours. I probably, you know, last year did maybe 20 tours. I've probably done 10 to 15 this year so far. So always happy to do tours. Of course, a lot of people buy without ever doing a tour, and that's certainly fine too. But we're certainly love to have people come and visit, and we'll spend as much or as little time as they want and really get a good feel for the city. And I can certainly understand that. I would want to do the same thing too before purchasing myself.
Yeah, just being a geography degree holder and a traveler, it just sure was a fun afternoon to go around town with a Little Rock native in the same vehicle. Well, how can our audience find out more about you and Little Rock Turnkey?
Yeah, you bet. Well, I mean, you can always check out our website, littlerockturnkey.com. You can always just give me a call directly. My number is 501-951-7100. And of course, you can always just email me, Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, at littlerockturnkey.com. So love to communicate with you anyway and answer any questions that you have about Little Rock.
Fantastic, Brian. Thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Keith, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, to put a wrap on Little Rock here, the properties there often meet or exceed the 1% rent-to-value ratio that's often your positive cash flow indicator. That's a key metric. And next, I typically look at the mortgage interest rate that I'm paying and a jurisdiction's property taxes. I look at those two things next, and Little Rock's property taxes aren't so high. When I was running some numbers after my market visit, I was often coming up with property taxes of about 1.2% annually, meaning that a $100,000 property would have annual property taxes of like $1,200, where high property tax metros, like we often see in Texas, have closer to a 3% annual rate versus, again, 1.2% here. Little Rock Turnkey, targeting those better areas, better properties, better finishes, often Class B properties, and very few government-subsidized tenants. Of course, anything's possible in real estate or investing, but I would consider Little Rock a safe market to be in, where you're somewhat hedged against price downturns, largely due to stability through their diversification across business sectors. When you consider all this and Arkansas's landlord-tenant laws, you know, really, in my opinion, and that's all it is, Little Rock is a good market for investigating when you consider a market to invest in. I know that Little Rock Turnkey's business has really picked up and that they've done a ton of business lately, and I'm really not surprised after seeing what I saw. Thanks to today's guests, Brian Teeter and Jeremy Veldman. Until next week, you can check out Little Rock Turnkey at littlerockturnkey.com, and don't quit your daydream.
You've been listening to Get Rich Education, telling you what the wealthy won't tell you about real estate and investing. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to visit iTunes and leave your comments.
Nothing on this show should be considered specific, personal, or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, financial, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own. Information is not guaranteed. All investment strategies have the potential for profit or loss. The host is operating on behalf of Get Rich Education, LLC, exclusively.
The preceding program was brought to you by your home for wealth building, GetRichEducation.com.